Welcome to What the Estate Planning Lawyer Needs to Know About Roth Conversions and Estate Planning for IRAs. I'm Bob Keebler, and today I'll be your host for an overview of this important topic. Many of your clients have yet to realize the power of the Roth IRA in the context of their overall wealth transfer planning. The precise responsibility of the estate planning lawyer is far from clear. However, when an IRA is large and it's a major portion of a person's estate, the lawyer's role is paramount. You have to show leadership, and you have to be innovative and show ideas of how powerful the Roth IRA can be. At minimum, the lawyer's role is analogous to that of a pediatrician urging young parents to have their toddler see a dentist. In other words, if my IRA is very modest, 5% of my estate, perhaps the phrase, "Have you talked to your CPA or financial advisor about a Roth conversion?" is sufficient. However, what about the case of a retired doctor where 50 or 60 or even 80% of their estate is comprised of an IRA? There, the responsibility is far from clear. And in that instance, what we want to do is we want to show thought leadership, and you want to pull this together. And what I'll talk about today is why the Roth IRA can be very powerful and the drafting that typically would go along with this. Now, today we'll spend 10 or 15 minutes together. This is not designed to teach you how to do this, but to awaken your senses as to, you know, what you can be thinking about and how this can help your clients. So what I'm going to do is I will teach from the backside of my large checklist, and we're going to go through the lawyer's checklist, and it should take just 15, 20 minutes. Now, estate planning considerations. So my wife and I come into your office, and we have a $500,000 IRA out of a $5 million estate. Again, your role is probably to say this is not a material portion of Mr. and Mrs. Keebler's estate. However, at minimum, I need to have in my notes the fact that I broached the subject with them and suggested that, you know, this could have great efficacy for them. On the other hand, flip those numbers around. I'm at $5 million, $4.5 million in an IRA. I think your job changes because the Roth IRA can be so powerful from an estate planning standpoint. And what we really need to look at is, you know, why would people convert to a Roth IRA? And then, more importantly, what the lawyer's role becomes. Now, so let's talk about, I have these 11 reasons to convert. I'm going to go through these at a very conceptual level, just so you can see how they would play into your estate planning interview. So I come in and you go through my tax returns and you see that I have a very high basis of my IRAs. Maybe I have 100,000 in IRAs, of which 90,000 is basis. I'd be the ideal candidate for a Roth conversion. Now, you say, "Bob, this is accounting or financial work." Maybe, maybe not. But what it is a lot of your clients are managing their own money, or they're using a very large provider, you know, where basically they never meet with anyone face-to-face, and they may not be getting the quality of advice. You may be their primary advisor. And secondly, a lot of clients are doing their own tax returns. So it's very possible you're seeing people worth, you know, $2 to $25 million that do not have a CPA that does their tax work and do not really have a financial advisor they look to for advice. So you want to look at that. Now, I come in and I'm dying. And you look at my return and you say, "Well, Mr. Keebler, you have a $500,000 charitable carry forward. When you die, that will expire." And I say, "Well, what do we do?" And you say, "You know, if we converted to a Roth IRA, some of that carry forward could be used to shelter that income." Now, remember, you have the limitations, the 50% limitation, the 30% limitation on the charitable deduction, but better to take that tax break than to lose the deduction. And those are things you'd have to analyze. Or, it's early January, I'm going to die within the next 2 weeks, and my medical expenses are going to be $50,000. You can do a fairly large Roth conversion, which will then be offset by those medical expenses. And I don't want to get too granular here, but this is where you can add real value, because if I'm dying, I'm probably spending time with you trying to get everything in order, and you'll be able to bring up these issues. Now, suspension of the minimum distribution rules at 70.5. Again, I come in to see you. I do not need this money. At age 70.5, if you're my financial advisor or my CPA or my lawyer, you want to say, "Bob, maybe the Roth IRA is in order here," because you wouldn't have minimum distributions. Now, the other thing that we want to understand, this is very, very hard math, but when you have the 691C deduction, that's the income tax deduction for the estate tax paid, at the end of the day, that deduction is not efficient. Okay, it's probably about a 5% difference between a regular IRA and a Roth IRA as far as how much wealth is transferred. Now, over time, after I die, that efficiency spreads out. Okay, so over time, that will become even greater. So that's something the estate planning lawyer definitely needs to know, that if I can do a Roth conversion even on my deathbed, as long as tax rates between my children and I are the same or they're flat, a Roth conversion probably can't help us. Now, who else is a good candidate? Someone with outside funds. If I come to see you, I have $500,000 in my IRA and $300,000 of cash burning a hole in my pocket. I'm living off my pension. I may be a very good candidate for a Roth conversion. Now, whether that conversion occurs over 5 years or 20 years is, you know, something you have to analyze, but it's something you want to embrace. Now, funding the bypass trust. Let's just think about this for a minute. I come to you and I say to you, you know, I want to leave $3.5 million in trust for my family, or I want to leave $3.5 million in trust for my grandchildren. And what's the best way to use my GST exemption? Now, I'm fast forward January 1st, 2011. And you'd say to me, Bob, we could leave your IRA to a trust, but you're really only leaving 60-cent dollars to the trust. In other words, that $3.5 million is only worth $2.1 million. Second thing we could do is we could leave other property that just received a step-up in basis to the trust, but that's inherently inefficient, okay, because all the future growth is going to be taxable. Or third thing we can do is we can leave a Roth IRA to a trust, and that's $3.5 million of real dollars. Not only that, all the postmortem distributions are 100% tax-free. It's an incredible deal for your clients. Now, whether you do a $3.5 million conversion, if you have that much in your IRA, is an open question, but you might convert something. Or think about this in the context of a special needs trust for a child. So you represent this wonderful couple. They have a special needs child who is 40 years old, who may live another 20 years, and the couple says to you, you know, what happens if we die? And you say, well, we'll set up a special needs trust. Your IRA will be payable to that trust. And the lady says to you, but what's the tax rate when the money comes out of the IRA and goes to the trust, and the trustee holds it in case our son Thomas needs it later? And you say, well, when the money comes out of the IRA, it would come out over Thomas's life expectancy, but it would be taxed. When it's held or trapped at the IRA, at the trust level, it's going to be taxed. So, and then you say, but wait a minute. Maybe we can convert to a Roth IRA at your tax rate while you're alive at the 25% rate rather than have it stuck in that trust at a 39.6% rate. Just something to ponder. Okay, now, tax brackets. When you look at the list here, you're going to quickly see that on the tax brackets for married couples are more favorable than for a single individual. We all know that inherently. But so grandma and grandpa come to see you. Grandpa is dying. He's 60 years old. He's a now newly retired dentist, and he has $3 million in his plan. At the end of the day, maybe they should do some Roth conversions before grandma is filing a single return. The math sometimes supports that. Now, you have to remember, from an estate planning lawyer's perspective, it is so critical to embrace the fact that post-death distributions to beneficiaries are tax-free. In other words, I die, my IRA goes to my child takes it out over 40 years, that is an incredible opportunity for us. So that's an incredible opportunity. Now, if it goes to a grandchild, you could be looking at a 60-year life expectancy where all the distributions are tax-free. So theoretically, if you did a Roth conversion for somebody 50, and they lived 50 years and then left it to a beneficiary that lived another 50 years, that Roth conversion could literally stretch a century. Now, that's on the far side of reality, but it's theoretically within the realm of possibilities. More likely, a Roth conversion lasts 25 to 75 years, but that's still a long period of time. Now, tax rates in the future. Whether President Bush's tax cuts simply expire or whether President Obama's budget bill is to put into place, they lead us to the same place. No matter how you run around this, you get to the same place at 39.6. So today we're at 35, tomorrow we're at 39.6. Better to convert today at 35. And you have to watch out for this two-year rule right now, because if you convert today, unless you elect out and say to the government, I don't want to do this, you are going to report the income over a two-year period of time rather than a one-year period of time. So you want to make sure that if you're helping people with this, assign specifically the responsibility for electing out to the CPA that's preparing that tax return. I mean, that's in an email, in a letter, on a checklist, whatever. But make sure the CPA knows, hey, we better at least look at electing out, because I don't want to pay tax at 39.6. I want to pay tax at 35. Now, the ability to recharacterize allows the taxpayer to 20/20 hindsight. What I'm talking about with recharacterization is a very simple but powerful thing. If I convert to a Roth IRA today, say $500,000, and it grows to $800,000, no doubt it should stay in the Roth IRA. But if it falls, I have the ability for up until October 15th of the year following my year of conversion, I have the ability under the statutory framework of this to recharacterize. In other words, to go back into a regular IRA. And quite frankly, who wouldn't want to do that? It just makes total, total sense, okay? Now, the 3.8% surtax, again, in these charts you're going to see there's something called the surtax bubble. And in the surtax bubble, what we're dealing with is there is this, just similar to the taxation of Social Security benefits, how when I take money out of my IRA, it increases my modified adjusted gross income, which is the threshold for imposing the 3.8% surtax. So, for some of your clients with large investment portfolios that are already generating up to the threshold of $250,000 for a married couple, and they're going to begin taking RMDs out of their IRA, this might save them some tax money. So these are all things that you really need to look at and embrace. Now, let's go through this lawyer's checklist and just give us some kind of a framework of what we can be doing. So now let's just assume for this discussion that the CPA firm of Oppenheimer and Einstein has run these numbers. And these guys are, you know, they went to MIT, they both have MBAs. I mean, you know, these are bright, bright guys. You trust, you just trust implicitly that their numerical analysis is reasonable. Now, so what do you do? Now you have to work this together into a seamless estate plan. First thing is, and maybe not the first thing, but the first thing we'll talk about is making sure, if that's my newly converted Roth IRA, help me with my new beneficiary forms. Make sure those beneficiary forms make sense in context of the overall plan you have artfully woven together. Now, consider that post-death distributions are tax-free. Remember, above all else, post-death distributions are going to be tax-free. And that is something that you do not want to throw away. And that's part of why we want to use a Roth IRA trust or a Unified Credit Trust, standalone trust, because in the event that I die, I do not want my Roth IRA going to my 18-year-old grandson. Now imagine just this conversation you have with my grandson. It goes something like this. I understand my grandpa left me two IRAs. One is a $500,000 regular IRA, and the other one is a $500,000 Roth IRA. And I know if I take the money out of my regular IRA, I'd have to pay a couple hundred thousand dollars in tax. I don't want to do that. But tell me about the Roth IRA. I understand that as long as I meet certain criteria, which are easy to meet, I can take all the money out of the Roth IRA. And you say, yes, you understand the law perfectly. And then the child says to you, you know, you're a really smart lawyer. Can you drive with me over to the Porsche dealership? Because now that I can get this money, I'm gonna squander it like any 18-year-old would for the last 5,000 years. So, what we're dealing with here is, if you use the trust, you say, but yes, but no, you're exactly right, but your grandfather had me draft a trust for you. And the Roth IRA goes to a trust. And, you know, your uncle is the trustee. A bank is the trustee. And you're going to have to talk to them about when you get money. And at that point in time, the whole tone of the conversation has changed. But in a serious note, we've all been there. We've all seen 18-year-olds self-destruct. And so with a Roth IRA, I think it's really important that if your client pays $200,000 or $300,000 of tax to get into the Roth IRA, or $1 million of tax to get into the Roth IRA, have them leave it to a standalone trust. Now, apportionment clauses. Very important to look at your state law, your beneficiary forms, your will, and to make sure all those things work together. Who is going to bear the weight of the estate tax? Because, and don't forget about state estate tax, but what you do not want generally, you want to put the burden on the probate assets or the rev trust assets just received a step up in basis. You do not want that burden on the IRA or the Roth IRA. Now, one thing people are doing, they're doing split interest charitable trusts, like charitable deed trusts in the year of conversion, And by designing those right, you get a big income tax deduction in the year you create those. The other thing is power of attorney. Recognizes some brokerage firms want the power of attorney on their form, and they will not accept your form or the standard state form. So get in front of this and, you know, ask the financial advisor, what do the bureaucrats at your company want? Because I'll just do it for them now. It's going to take 10 minutes to do it on the front end versus the nightmare that if something happens to our client. Now, what about the ability to recharacterize? Do not lose track of this and make sure that the CPA and the financial advisor are on track with this and learn what you can learn about recharacterizations, because the standard of care on this is for very large IRAs. Smart practitioners are encouraging their clients to convert by asset class, basically to give them the best chance of success. Now, asset protection considerations, again, remember, people are going to be coming to you with these questions all the time. You may want to tackle them yourselves. You may want to send them out to a bankruptcy attorney. But I come to you, I'm a retired orthodontist, and I say, you know, what do I do? I know, I understand, you know, that if I leave my money in my ERISA plan, I'm protected from my creditors. How does it work when I start coming out of that ERISA plan and I have it in a rollover IRA? How does it work if I mix it with my regular IRA? How does it work under state law? How does it work under the federal bankruptcy code? And you want to make sure that you understand that, because, for example, if you represent an architect or an engineer that stamped things, and then suddenly, one of their buildings falls down or has structural issues, people get hurt. Unfortunately, it happens far too often, and your guy is now, you know, in the crosshairs. If they've been very sloppy about their rollover and they mixed it with other assets, perhaps the bankruptcy court doesn't give them a break, and they say that you've mixed it with your other IRAs, we're going to limit you to the $1 million exemption. On the other hand, if you've given them good counsel and they've done the rollovers in a nice, pristine way, the way I understand the law is that under the bankruptcy code, that IRA should be protected. These are things that, you know, you're going to want to make sure before your clients convert that they understand this, okay? And you should be encouraging your financial planner and CPA friends to do the same thing and to make sure they either get your counsel or the counsel of a bankruptcy lawyer, especially in situations where there could be problems. OBGYN, architecture, engineering, places in the law where there's a long malpractice period, you need to be paranoid about this. Now, again, we want to think about using a standalone IRA trust. We kind of talked about that for a moment, but if you design the trust correctly, the trustee is allowed to take the funds out of the IRA over the oldest beneficiary's life expectancy. Now, the beneficiary is a 40-year-old child, you have one life expectancy. If the beneficiary is a 10-year-old grandchild, you're talking about 60-plus years of life expectancy. Incredibly powerful opportunities. So these are the things that you want to be thinking about. Now, also on this big green chart, we have a financial advisor's checklist. We have a CPA's checklist. Depending on the nature of your practice, I suggest that most estate planning attorneys should look at all three of these checklists, at least know what's out there and what your colleagues in the other professions should be addressing. So I'm hoping today was helpful and that what we shared with you today will help you help your clients.